I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are delighted to welcome in Dave Lado. He joins us on the Al Pamani Ford Hotline. Al Pamani Ford in Melrose Park. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Coach.
I'm doing good. Morning. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Well, we're doing fine. Thanks for jumping on. We really appreciate getting a chance to talk to you. Just obviously, we're looking at everything that is going on in the world. It's now some of the protests and rioting have gone beyond our shores, and there have been overnight there were protests going on in London and in Berlin, and I think that it reminds us that this is, you know, while we view it as a uniquely American problem, this is a problem, an issue of inequality that's going on all over the world, and I don't know why that would comfort me, but it makes me feel better that it's not just our society, although something's broken, Coach. And I'm just curious, how do you handle this with your players?
Yeah, we spent almost 2 hours yesterday, you know, on our Zoom call. We have a weekly Zoom call, you know, just to keep updated and stay connected with one another. And, you know, aside from the normal things you would talk about, academics or what's going on in their own individual homes or communities, this took over the conversation purposely, because it's so critically important, particularly for young people, to try to come to grips with their hurt, their pain, their anger, and most importantly, what to do about it. So, you know, for me, it was an opportunity to have a teachable moment with them, and continue to have one, quite honestly, because, as you mentioned, this is a really critical time that we're facing, and people are wondering, you know, what to do and how they look, you know, at a society that has been unjust, not just with police brutality, but just, you know, a very unbalanced society with people of color. And so it's something that we think is very important to our guys. And we're going to continue, as I mentioned, to talk about it over and over again.
How would you describe their collective state of mind, Coach? Because obviously you are a parent, you are a coach, but you're also an adult. You're an African-American role model who has a voice that carries, but these are young men who have yet to make their own way. So they probably get on that Zoom call. They probably, you know, leave that Zoom call and they go to back to their families, and they have these questions and they have these concerns. And how would you characterize their state of mind?
You know, it's generally speaking, they're confused, you know, and confusion comes from anger. You know, they want an explanation as to why, you know, not just why this is happening. I think that's the most critical question that goes through their minds, but why isn't something being done about it? Not just in what we saw, you know, in front of our eyes, the tragedy of George Floyd, but if you can go back historically, and why does this keep happening? Why does it keep happening? And why is there freedom to, you know, say, you know, in another month or two or three or six, it'll happen again? I think that's part of their distinct emotional state of mind, where they're angry and confused. And so we live in a society that is unbalanced. And so I can't promise them that it won't happen again. But what we can do is try to understand what to do with those emotions, how to tear a negative into a positive. You know, they're at a critical point. If you see, you know, a lot of the protests and or looting and riots, it's mainly young people. And so it affects them greatly, because they have so many opinions about what's going on in this country. So, you know, we're going to try to continue to kind of put them in a better place as to how to deal with those emotions.
Coach, do you have any insight into this? And over the course of your lifetime, you've certainly seen a lot of things happen and a lot of sort of static things occur when it comes to race relations in this country. I don't understand. I have no knowledge of how this hasn't improved. And I was saying, I listened to a speech that JFK made in 1963, which would be 57 years ago, about riots in Birmingham. And you could apply the things he was saying then to right now and what's happening right now.
Well, we could talk about this for hours, and I think, you know, I have very, very distinct and strong opinions about this and many layers of it, you know, and race is a very, very, you know, critical part of our society. It's, as I mentioned, unbalanced, and it comes in so many different forms. It's been ongoing for, you know, not just, as you mentioned, in the 60s, where civil unrest was at a heightened time in this country, and you know, there were leaders trying to make things right, obviously Dr. King and people like that. But it goes back, you know, hundreds of years. And so my message, even to our players, it's I don't believe it's going anywhere. It could get better, obviously. But our racial divide is something that is at the core of this, not just this country, but you see it in all over the world. And so when I was, you know, I'm 60 years old now, but when I was a young teenager, I saw it in my neighborhood and burning down streets and early 70s and a little bit of late 60s from what I can remember. And, you know, from the standpoint of what we're talking about, police brutality, you know, you go back to 1991 with Rodney King and 92 when the verdict came out, very, very clear memories of rioting and looting over 6 days in Los Angeles. And so you can go historically into points in time and try to understand why race is at the state it is. I think, you know, across the country right now, over the last, you know, 10, 12, 15 years, it's been more distinct. You know, there are a lot of reasons for that. I think there are some people, although a strong minority of people, that were not happy that America elected a president that was black. And now they have a voice, and that voice has gotten louder. But there's so many layers to this. And as I mentioned, racism comes in so many different forms. It's not just, you know, color. It's not just police brutality. It has so many educational factors, economic factors that you could go into that create a boiling sensation that we're in the middle of right now.
So, Dave, you're a coach, so you go to DePaul, you get a program, you got a plan. You say, okay, I need to do this in recruiting, and I need to do this with my roster. And it's pretty much, you know where to start. This is so different, and yet you still probably look at it from a very coachy perspective, and there has to be a plan. There has to be, you know, something that we can do, individuals can do, that feels so helpless and don't know where to start. You don't have an agenda. You don't have if I do this, if I do that. If you want to make this situation better, if somebody asks you, one of your players, mm-hmm. one of your neighbors, one of your friends, how can I help? What do I do to start? What would you tell them?
You know, that's a very, very good question. It's a question that I asked not only myself, but I asked the players yesterday, and they didn't have answers. And what I tried to do is be, you know, very succinct about it and simplistic from their point of view. The first thing that I asked of them is to continue to educate yourself. You know, to me, education comes in two very critical forms. It's you know, going to class and do what you're supposed to do and getting good grades. But it's, as part of that, it's the discipline that it takes to educate yourself, to research, to be broad-minded, all those kind of things. And then the other part of education is you know, societal, and just understanding what this world is about and how you fit in it, and making sure that you can know as much about as many things as you possibly can. Be a very everyday learner about this world we live in, about people, about, you know, different things, both good, bad, or indifferent. And then, you know, we all have been given at the age of 18 the ability to vote, you know, and your voice right now is being heard loud and clear from a protesting standpoint, and unfortunately, you know, rioting eluding. And as Martin Luther King said, you know, writing is a voice of the unheard. But to hear your voice much more clearly is the opportunity, not to, you know, just vote in November. Hey, there's a presidential election, but, you know, in your community for counselors and aldermen and state senators and, you know, everything that has something to do with your life, policy wise and otherwise. And so those are the two things that immediately come to mind, that you can empower yourself to try and make a difference. You know, one person, it becomes a very, very difficult process to try to make monumental change. But if people are doing things collectively, educating themselves and talking to each other about things they agree or disagree on, and then having the power to vote, in my opinion, that's a strong way to try to move the mountain as best we can.
Coach, we're seeing, you know, the nation open up more after this stay-in-place order, after everything that's happened with COVID-19. There are no medical solutions to COVID-19. We don't even have treatment plans, let alone a vaccine. And you have to look at everything that's going on right now within that lens, where we're all kind of depending on each other to remain healthy. And then you add to it this you know, horrible thing that happened in Minneapolis. I don't think I've ever sat through a tape of something like that. When he's crying for his mother, I got to tell you, I mean, that's heartbreaking stuff. And so you understand the rage and you understand the protest, but it's also happening kind of within this global pandemic. And it's mm-hmm. you just worry for people's health. As crazy as that sounds, when so many other things are at play here.
Yeah, just imagine, is unprecedented in your lifetime, in my lifetime, or anybody's lifetime, before, during, and after, about a global pandemic and what that means. You know, I lost my mom to the disease, and so it hit very, very personally for me. And it was nothing more tragic to see people losing their lives, you know, for something that we know very little about to this day, and then get so overshadowed by this tragedy. And as you mentioned, to watch that video over the length of time that it is, is very disheartening. It brings you to tears. It rocks you at your core. And because we're at a standstill, it is exasperated, you know. So you have that tragedy, and you go back historically and all the other, you know, things that happened, you know, in course of time. And there's things right now, whether it's in Brunswick, Georgia, or Louisville, or you can go back to, you know, Tamir Rice or Eric Garner or Philando Castillo or Amadou Diallo. And so if you go back in time, but this one, for the reasons why we sat and watched, for that longer time, you know, the look on the police officer's face, the smug look, almost like I can do this, created, you know, a real sense of despair. And then you add on to it what we're going through. I kind of look at it as when you're driving down a highway and on the opposite side of the highway, there's a car accident. Could be fatal. You know, when the cars slow down, you see it, you feel bad about it. You may talk to somebody about it on your cell phone or whatever, but then the traffic keeps moving. And then 5 or 10 miles later, you're back on your journey. And so that's what you're concentrated on. Right now, traffic going both ways is at a standstill. So you're just looking at that tragedy. You're talking about it. And you know, between these two things that are going on, it's created a real mess. And I think social distancing and mask wearing and all those things that we were talking about 2 weeks ago has been put on a shelf a little bit because people want to be outside and protesting and sharing their anger. So now you're going to go backwards from a COVID-19 situation and have to test, you know, people that have been in close contact with each other over the last week or so, which is really, really tragic because you're going to have a spike in cases potentially, right, you know, from this tragedy. So it's really, really a difficult time for not only America, but as you mentioned, for the world to deal with something that we shouldn't be dealing with.
Sorry for your loss, Dave.
Yeah.
Thank you. I don't want to, you know, make more of it than it is, but, you know, you everybody, because there's over 100,000 deaths, you know, almost everybody, I'm sure you all have people that you're close to that you know who's either gotten a disease or tragically may have passed away. And so, it's something that unfortunately we're dealing with. And, we just have to make sure that we stay safe more than anything else and follow the guidelines of our experts, our doctors, to say what is something we need to do to try to eradicate this as quickly as possible.
Coach, thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks you very much. And again, it's a very important topic. I'm so glad you had me on, and the platform that all of us have, because we have a little bit of our voices, is critically important. And so I do appreciate you having me.
Take care of yourself.
Thank you, Coach. God bless you. Dave Lado, the head coach at DePaul.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.